I want to introduce my friend Stanley. Stanley, you come up here to our massive stage. Stanley asked me, does he need to preach from the stage? I said to him, yeah, I had to learn that as well. But the people at the back who left, they're so humble, they left the seats for the angels. They can't see you if you stand on the floor. And I just want to say it's a privilege to have you here. Look forward to the ministry of the word. Look forward to hearing what the Lord has placed in your heart. And I just want to encourage you with a scripture from 2 Timothy. Paul says to Timothy, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We look forward to hearing what the Lord has placed on your heart. Father, I thank you for this man. Thank you that he is a man after your heart, that he knows you. Thank you that you have called him and you have given him a word here. And we pray that we would be good soil to hear the gospel of truth, gospel of salvation, through this vessel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Just got to test this out quickly, what it feels like. Thanks, Craig. Hopefully there's not too much rebuke. That was definitely not on the cards for this morning. But what a build-up to this week. Craig asked me to speak weeks ago, and I started to do so much prep and preparation. And then I thought, okay, I'll pull all the pieces together this last week. And then I got hit with the flu. And for the whole week, and you might hear it in my voice, that it was almost like you battling. And I almost like want to put it into context that it's like I'm not here to preach to you. Let's just get that out the way, okay? I didn't come here to preach, because that's not what God laid on my heart to share with you. And just as we heard here with the Father and the Son, it's actually the Father's heart that he has a message. Because I really believe that, like I was even sitting here and I had this joke planned to come up here, and let's crack a joke, you know. And I just got so emotional because some of us didn't come here for a joke. And God is like really wanting to give you something this morning and something special. And that's what I hope you see this morning. You don't see me, the groggy voice, or you know, that there's a message that God actually has ordained and prepared, and he wants to give it to you personally. And I'm just the messenger that had to go through some stuff that I could have easily said, Craig, I don't think so today. But it would go against my whole message. But it's not for me, it's for us. That I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to all of us. And I really, like, that was just on my heart, like, God, like, hey, this isn't a sermon, because I was even, like, nervous of, like, oh, you know, how am I going to get graded? What are they going to think about my execution? My PowerPoint presentation. I know you're not those people. When I first came to the church, I heard a testimony of a mother who was trying to get her son to go to church, and he was already extremely late. Any mothers have that problem with their kids? More their husbands. So the mother went to the son's bedroom. She's banging on the door, and she's like, you're late for church, you're late for church. And the son shouts back, and I'm not going back to that church. Shocked, the mother's like, well, why not? The son's, well, firstly, they don't like me at that church. And secondly, I don't like them. And the mother's like, but you have to go. Firstly, you're 38 years old. And secondly, you're the pastor of the church. And when I heard this, I thought of Craig. You say, hey, it's my... I know, yeah, it's the joke, I guess. The more time I've spent with Craig, you know, you guys love Craig. And more importantly, Craig has a massive love for you guys. And that's why it's a privilege and it's an honor for me to have this opportunity to chauffeur Claremont your... just your love and your acceptance to myself and my family for just the support and love that you give one another. And even just this is a testament in itself for Craig to be bold in his leadership, give me this microphone, that it could go south. It could be like, whoa, what have we done? But I just want to say, yeah, just thank you, Craig, Francie, the leaders of Shofar Church. Yeah, this is really a humbling and really just grateful for this opportunity. And it is by God's great design. How awesome is that? So I want to kind of get into, yeah, there we go. It's my grace is sufficient. The scripture for this morning, if you are going to read along, we do have it on the screen. And it's 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. And it says there, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So imagine me like, oh, I'm too weak to come. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. How's that one? You know, it's like James 1 where it speaks about rejoice when going through trials. But it says there, where it says, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships. Do we do that? Not really. And just to put this into context, firstly, what is the grace? I just want to kind of just the word grace where it says my grace is sufficient. Just to understand the word grace, it's God's unearned and freely given favor. And where do we see that? We see that with Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm not going to go too much into this grace aspect and the teaching about grace, but I just want you to know that as we read through this Corinthians of what he says, that my grace is sufficient. Well, what is that grace? It's God's unearned and freely given favor, his kindness, his mercy, regardless of merit and worthiness. That you can replace the grace there, and he says, my unearned and freely given favor is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, when you look at who's writing this, and for many of you, yes, you're familiar with it. It is Paul writing. And just to give you a bit of clarification or put the scripture into context, you had Paul, who used to be Saul of Tarsus. Now, here you have this individual who was on a mission to terrorize and nullify Christianity, the growth of Christianity, a Pharisee. Like, if I think of Saul of Tarsus, imagine that guy walked into a room and you know that he hated Christians and you got a brother who became a Christian. You would almost like have this fear upon you because Saul of Tarsus just walked in, knowing how much he hated and dreaded Christians, that he was out on a mission, that even Galatians 1:13, it says, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. That's who this individual is that is writing this. That it's a man that he must have had at least esteem. He must have had like this presence about him that people would have feared this man. Which we know that because in Acts, the conversion, where that's like, if you want to see an example of what does salvation look like, just go read Acts, Acts 9, where you see this conversion of Paul, and we know it's the, he's on the road to Damascus, and what happens is, just for the sake of time, I'm going to condense it. So please excuse me, I'm not going to put all the scripture up there, I'll put you to sleep, okay? But just for the sake of time, just to like understand who this individual is, he's on his way to Damascus. And he's already spoken to the high priest. He's gotten letters that is that if he comes across any Christians, he can bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem for persecution. And as we know the story, and this is why I say it's like a great example. For many of us, we can relate that you're on a road going one way, and all of a sudden, there Jesus steps in. And he's totally transformed. That it's like instead of persecuting, he starts to have a love and a gratitude. He's on a mission for Jesus. He's on a mission to see the very people that he was persecuting actually thrive, actually trying to convert more people into Christianity. You see, from a guy who was like, I hate these people, to the point of, I want to see more people become like them. And now he's writing a letter to the Corinthians. And yes, there's some issues there about the apostles. And he's almost giving his credentials to them. I'm trying to paint the picture of what builds up to the scripture. He's given his credentials of how at the time of the Corinthians, there's all these false apostles. He's addressing the false apostle issue, and he's writing to them, almost trying to, you know, give them, convince them of his position as an apostle. And he starts saying to them how he's had to endure persecution himself. He's been lashed. If you look at what he writes here in 2 Corinthians, it is 2 Corinthians 11. It says, 5 times he received 39 lashes, 3 times beaten with rods, 1 time stoned, 3 times shipwrecked. Now Paul's like, hey, come, we're going to get on that boat. He's like, whoa, not with you, Paul. It says he was left out at sea day for a whole day and a night. You know, prosperity gospel. You know, I'm sure in those moments he must have been, what am I doing here? Why am I here? That it's like, yo, I had status. I was in a position where I was persecuting people. I become like those people. And I'm enduring this hardship. And he's actually writing to them to say that I could boast about these things. He carries on to say that he's even had these visions. That he goes to heaven and he hears things. But he carries on to say that these things aren't even worthy to boast about. And cherry on top, with everything he endures and goes through and has done, he still says that I have this thorn in my side. You see that, yeah, you see this guy, Paul, that he could have easily been like, yo, but I've done this, I changed my life, and I went on doing this, and I'm still facing all these hardships, and look at what I've done for Jesus. But he says that those things are worthless. Yes, he could boast about it, and yes, he would be right. But he brings it to a point of like those things aren't worthy to be boasted about. That he comes and he's like, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, sometimes when we read this, we can sometimes have this, well, why didn't God just take it away? Whatever Paul was struggling with, of like, look at the conversion of how he changed. You know, even there's a scripture where Paul says, imitate me. that when you look at his life, it's almost like, do we want to imitate Paul? Because those hardships. But what brought me to the scriptures that I know in today's time we all face hardships. That we're all going through stuff. And it's almost like God's heart is like, you know what, I see that. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. They didn't say, hey, I take it away. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Goes on to say, I delight in weakness. See, he says, I'll rather boast about those things. See, the 1st of May, that was Thursday, 1st of May, 20 years ago, 2005, 1st of May, the day before my mother's birthday, they had to put me into a facility. Like my parents had to actually lock up majority of their house because I wasn't allowed into their portion. They allowed me to have a bedroom, access to a bathroom, and then the kitchen. But as for the rest of their house, they had to lock it. That if they weren't there, they couldn't trust me to have access to their house. You see, I had a weakness. And my weakness, I don't want to get emotional, but it had me in chains. It was embarrassing. I didn't want to tell people about it. I needed to always act like I had it together. Because people will look at you different. They treat you different. But the worst of it is I didn't know what to do. I had a drug addiction. I was a heroin addict. See, I can stand here today and I'll boast about it. You see, when I went to this facility, I was a thief. I was a liar. Why they locked me out is because I steal all their stuff and I'll sell it. But it was so binding that I had to do it. There were times when I didn't want, and yes, that's another sermon of what sin does, of how sin keeps you in chains and you're enslaved, that you just do what this thing tells you to do. But it was such a weakness that when I landed up in this facility, I too was like a Paul who's like, God, just take this thing away from me. That I pleaded. It says that he pleaded. Lord, take this away from me. And his response was, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, I needed to come to the point where I needed to stop acting like I had it all together. I needed to realize that no, God's power is manifested more in my weakness. I came here this morning to give you a message. Maybe it's one or two, maybe it's an encouragement for later. But I want to tell you about the great power of God's grace and his mercy. That yes, it does break chains. Yes, it does put people free. Yes, put your faith into it. You can receive it. And I want to encourage you to embrace it. Was everything smooth sailing? No, it's been a 20-year walk to here. But the journey has been amazing. What God has done has been great. But I don't boast in those things. I boast that I was weak. And I want to encourage you also. God promises to meet you in that place. That's why he says, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened. You don't need to hide it. You don't, like some guys are striving so hard to keep it all together. I came here this morning to tell you, no, give yourself a break. That when I embrace Jesus, when I embrace what he did on the cross, I'm a witness to God's grace is sufficient. I've been working with addicts and helping addicts. And the worst thing about it is when they put their faith into so many other things, trying so hard to stay clean. And the very power that can set them free, they reject. I don't know if that's a rebuke. But it's a plead with you. I'm here to plead. Plead with you. You know, the worst thing is that when we come to Christianity, we think, oh, God can't do it. Because we're either impatient, we don't understand. Like, I didn't understand either. But for me, I had nowhere to run. I was in a facility. I was pretty much locked up. But I didn't want to run. Because I didn't want that to be my story. But I came here to tell you that in your weakness, his strength prevails. We see God's grace work many a times through the Bible. And many a times you can see this grace operating of people that were like, not me, God. Must be someone else. And his grace is sufficient. And I want to encourage you that it's available to you today. But it comes in your weakness. In Ephesians 3:20, yo, how much time do I have with you guys? Because it's no, I'm actually, this might go quicker than what I thought. See, the thing is, it's like, yo, you know what? I could talk a lot, and a lot of people are like, yo, when I start talking, oh, I don't stop. But I don't think you came here to listen to me. I came here to give a message, and it's for that to really, like, hey, hold on to that. And maybe it's not for you, but maybe you carry that hope to someone else. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone you need to call. Maybe it is for you. But I mean, we carry that. That's what we carry to people. It's like we be the light to people. And I just want to encourage you that this is actually an encouragement. You see, Ephesians 3:20, which is there, says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. That's in his weaknesses to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. You know, I want to say it's like, hey, God's power is going to work greater in us to accomplish far greater in our weakness. You don't need to run and hide it anymore. That you can actually bring it before the Lord. That he desires you to do that. I want to pray. You're quicker than expected. Hopefully next time. I'm kidding. But I want to pray that you get a hold of that. You know, we celebrate Easter, and I know some people don't want to call it Easter, so it's Resurrection Sunday and all those other things. But we miss the point of what is actually taking place there. That there's a great power that is displayed, and that same power is available to us, to you today, that whatever you're facing, it's going to be through your weakness. So we delight and we rejoice. You see that God could take the worst thing in my life and turned it for the greatest thing in my life. Like the greatest thing in my life is that I went to a rehab. Can you believe it? Like, you'd be like, hey, what was on your bucket list? And you're like, hey, I want to go to rehab. No, it's no one's plan. It's no one's like, hey, I'm aspiring to do that. And it was the worst thing in my life. I was like in a pit. I wanted to die. It was embarrassing. You know, when they march you through the work and you like stole three vehicles, and that's another thing. It's just like, you're like, this is embarrassing. And the worst thing is, like, I'm that guy. But yet, so much so, I had to go back just to visit that place. I had to go back then just to, like, yo, what took place here. And many people will, like, go past that place and be like, ah, it's the pits, that place. That's the worst place ever. But for me, I can't say that. I look at that place and I'm like, that was the greatest thing that ever happened. That's why sometimes people go to me, oh, jail. I'm like, well, but jail's not a bad place. Sometimes jail is good. That once we see the worst, that like God can turn it for the good. And maybe in that place, I didn't see it like that. But today I can look to people and say, yes, you can see it like that. This is your greatest opportunity. You see, I don't know what you're going through, but I want to tell you, like, that can be your greatest opportunity. That's why it says, rejoice when facing trials. It's opportunity to grow. And let me tell you something. We're going to face trials. Yo, just me coming here this morning was almost like a trial. Like sick and everything, but it's by His grace, by His power. That was the only thing I could call on. I could only call on Jesus this morning, and I encourage you to do the same. Let me pray. Yeah, Father, I just thank you for this word which is here to encourage us, to give us direction, to lift us up. And Father, as this isn't meant to be a sermon, but a message to the heart, for those that are maybe facing things, or maybe you know someone that is facing things in their life, which is tough and embarrassing. Maybe feels like the hardest thing. We're in good company this morning. We're in good company that Paul is even encouraging us that your grace is sufficient. That this morning you telling us what Jesus did on the cross is sufficient. That you didn't need to take my addiction away. I just needed Jesus. I needed Jesus in my life. I needed Jesus in my heart. And Father, let that be the same for those sitting here. That at times I don't need my problems to go away. I need Jesus in my boat. That yes, I am weak. But I can boast about that. I can rejoice. I can delight. Because we have you, Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as you come and you counsel and as you comfort, that maybe there are those sitting here this morning and it's hard and it's heavy. But it says that you can lift those burdens. Your yoke is light. I pray there'll be a lifting taking place. That this is the encouragement they needed. That you are all sufficient. You are all powerful in our weakness, Lord, and we rejoice. You are revive those hearts, Lord. Father, those that have closed up their heart, give them a heart of flesh, Father. That maybe those circumstances have affected them so much that they've closed themselves off to protect themselves. I pray this morning that your word will penetrate. Your spirit will saturate. We pray for new life. Just as Paul's whole name and identity was changed. Just as you've changed my life. No longer am I that drug addict. No longer am I that thief. But you've given me a new identity. And that's what you want to do here. Our Father, we embrace you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. For each person sitting here. And as they leave, let's pray the peace of God upon them. And this word will minister into their hearts in this week to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can all stand. Is that what, Craig, is that the format? Yeah. If you need prayer for anything, I encourage you to come forward that we can pray with you. It says that we are there to carry each other's burdens. And there's no judgments. If you need prayer, like we can, hey, help take you to Jesus. So if you need prayer, come to the front. You're welcome to continue to have coffee, socialize, and have a blessed rest of your Sunday. Amen. Cool. We are adjourned.